We'll turn your Bibles to John chapter 4. This morning, I want to take a look here in the Scriptures and see what the Lord says, what the Word of God says, what our Savior says about the freeness of salvation. The freeness of salvation. In John 4, verse number 1, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria," which was that region in between Judea and Galilee. As he's heading north from Judea, rather than go around, he's going to pass through Samaria. "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour," or noontime. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat," or to buy food. "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So here we have the Lord going to Sychar through Samaria and arriving near this city where the well is, where Jacob's well is, and this woman is there in the middle of the day, worst part of the day, we understand historically, to be drawing water. There's reasons that it seems that we understand that she's there at that time of the day. And the Lord tells her, give me something to drink. Give me some water to drink. And of course, she's worried about the prejudice that's between them. And it's kind of marvels that the Lord, being a Jew, would ask that of her, a Samaritan woman. And he says to her, his answer to her, and her reference there to the prejudice that exists and such. In verse number 10, if you knew the gift of God. Have you ever been given a gift? A gift, in its truest definition, is free. There's no hooks attached to it. There's nothing reciprocal regarding it. The definition of a gift is that it is given freely by the giver and freely unto the receiver. And so the Lord here says, if you knew the gift of God. The Lord's not talking about a thing. He's talking about himself. And we see that Brother John writes that in John chapter 3. Our Lord gives that to us through him. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. So if you knew who I am, thou would have asked of him. He's saying, and it comes to us in that third person, the Lord speaking about himself. If you knew who I was, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. Are there any hooks there? Is there anything reciprocal there? You know, where he's going to do and she's going to do? Our Lord says that living water is there. It's free to be asked for. That's the only condition he puts on it. And I know, I was just thinking about this as we were singing and thinking about the message and that. Isn't that so? Isn't it interesting that the Lord would use water to show about salvation? And isn't it so? Hasn't it been so in our generation? Our generation's gotten used to something new in our culture, in our dining culture. But do you remember the time, some of us are old enough to say, where we would say, "You mean they started charging for water?" Right? Isn't that what we say? Water is just such a basic staple of life. Who would charge for water? And for a long, long time in our nation and in our culture, folks, companies, places where you go to eat and such as that, they don't charge for water. They provide water because it's so necessary. Now we have bottled water and all that. And what is it, the reply that we've heard? "Well, I've got to charge you for the cup." Right? Isn't that what they say? But water, it's interesting the Lord uses water to describe to us a salvation. It's essential. It's necessary. It must be for someone to have a future and to have life. And it is free. It is free. Said, so if you'd ask, if you knew the gift of God, the Lord Jesus coming as a man, the Savior, and who it is you're talking to, you would ask me. I've asked you of some water out of Jacob's well here, but you would have asked me, and I might give you. Is that what he said? No, I would give you. I would have given thee living water. They go, she has doubt about his ability and power in that. And listen to what Jesus says in verse number 13. "Whosoever drinketh of this water," pointing at the well, "the water in the well, shall thirst again." You were here yesterday, weren't you? And the answer is yes. "You'll come back again tomorrow to draw again." And the answer is yes. You'll have to do that as long as you physically live, because we need water. Water is essential to live and for life. "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him," the water that the Lord Jesus gives, freely, freely. "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But not only that, will there be no more thirsting for that spiritual rescue and that spiritual water and feeding that the Lord gives and provides, that of salvation and all things related to it. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into life everlasting." The water that I give causes abundance in the soul. Water. Water used to describe the freeness of salvation. Brother Doug mentioned something in his Sunday school lesson this morning, and I wrote this down, and it's a wonderful, wonderful statement. The saved possess what God has given. And he's given a free gift unto us. And we are to reflect that and to show that indeed in our lives. Let's take a walk through the scriptures here and just see about this freeness of salvation and things related to it. In Matthew chapter 10, we're just going to walk through the scriptures here, and we'll just see what the scripture says. In Matthew chapter 10, we'll pick it up here in verse number 5. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles," speaking to the apostles, "and to any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That was their initial assignment. "As ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." He tells them, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils." Listen. "Freely ye have received." Now, their appointment as apostles includes in that apostleship more than you and I have as members in the Lord's church. That was their calling. But our calling is no less than theirs. Our calling is in its time and in its place and in our lives. And we have freely received of the Lord. He told them, you freely received. You hear that? They received it. They believed it. They rest in it. They trust in it. They know that it's true and know that it's so. Freely as ye have received, freely give. Our salvation is indeed to be shared. It's to be told unto others. It's that first point in the commission. It's the obligation and the privilege of every child of God to declare and tell others about what the Lord has done for us. But our Lord makes it clear what we have received freely. There's no price that we could pay. There's no price that we have paid. But our Lord has done these things for us freely. Freely you have received, freely give. In Romans chapter 3, we take a look at something that's mentioned over here and in regard to this. And as we understand and learn about the freeness of the salvation we have in our Lord, we are saved, we learn. And in this learning about how the Lord has been so generous unto us, the Lord not obligated unto us, but generous. You and I, we receive gifts of one another, and it's just in us. We are thankful and appreciate the thought, but I mean, you understand if somebody gave you a $50 bill and as a gift, you're very thankful. You're so thankful for the thought of them doing so. But what if somebody gave you a $50,000 vehicle? We're going to be thankful. But the enormity of the gift does impact us and does affect us for them to freely give such a thing. Well, our Lord has given us more than all of the world in saving us and redeeming us. And I tell you what, that is more than just being given a candy bar. That's more than being given all the wealth of the world. And again, not to belittle the thought is there, but the enormity of the gift does have an impact. And we have been saved. The Lord saves sinners. The Lord said it. To whom much is forgiven, they love much. And to whom little is forgiven, they love little. It's in us that way. In Romans chapter 3, and verse number 21, the scripture says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. We've touched on these verses here lately. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus, his faithfulness to do what the Father gave him to do, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's our state. You're here today and not saved. That's your state. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. We are saved. You that are here and not saved, listen and hear what the Lord does, being justified freely. I've been made as a child of God, being saved by the Lord. You too, being saved, we've been made freely, just as if we've never sinned. You go and engage in the legal system today. You be found at fault in some civil way in our culture today, and go engage a lawyer and deal with the legal system about something that you've done, something that you're at fault and dealing with that. I tell you what, in every respect, it's going to cost. It's going to cost a lot. It would not be surprising if it wouldn't cost at least four figures and maybe five, depending on what it would be. But we've sinned against the God of heaven. And he's justified us freely. We just need to pause and think about that. The salvation of our Lord is free indeed. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, all, but being justified freely, those who are saved, we who are saved, by His grace, His favor, His working on our behalf. So many things we talked about recently that feed into that. Through the redemption, the payment that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, that suffering body that took the pain and the beating and the wrath of God, to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission, the payment of sins that are past, through the forbearance, the long-suffering of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. His faithfulness and our faith in Him and what He has done, that it's good enough, that it's right enough, that it's what we need. And you know what? Jesus did what He did freely. And has taken our place in that propitiation. Has paid the payment for the sin by His suffering. And He's done so freely. He's done so willingly for sinners. Salvation is free, isn't it? In Romans chapter 8, it speaks more along this line. And just another way of looking at it, a little bit different angle. The work of the Lord is described here in the midst of the chapter, and the steps of the Lord working through time and before time, and the calling and saving His people. And what's it say here in verse number 31? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? I mean, if the Lord is for us, who can stand against the saved, the children of God? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? The brother read it this morning there in Luke. Brother Doug touched on it too. Little flock, that's you and me. That's us here at Olmsted Baptist Church. Little flock, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's bonus. On top of the salvation that our Lord has freely given to us. If the Father gave His Son, what else is in store that He would hold back on? Amen? Free. Free. Free indeed. John 3:16 that I alluded to earlier. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And He gave Him freely. I marvel in the Old Testament scriptures there in Isaiah where it says that it pleased the Father to bruise Him. He hath put Him to shame. That's not talking about the Lord, God Almighty, God the Father being a sadistic God. But for the salvation of sinners, for the salvation of His people, pouring out His wrath upon the Son was the only way and the necessary way. And He freely did that. And the Lord Jesus freely bore it for us. He gave Him freely. And indeed, it shows His love for His creation and for mankind. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just that simple. What did Jesus say to the woman there at Sychar? If you knew who I was, if you knew the gift of God, you'd be asking me for some water. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we come over here and we read in verse number 12 related to this. He talks about the things that are prepared for the children of God and how the world rejected Christ in that. How we have, as the children of God, by the Spirit of God living within us, we can know the truth of the Lord, even the deep things of God. It takes the Spirit of the Lord for us to know things about the Lord. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That's the Spirit that the saved have. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. I tell you what, the child of God that's growing up in their Lord, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, growing up in the Scriptures and the Bible, the Word of our Lord, will become more and more thankful daily for what our Lord has given unto us. It'll make us more salty. It'll make us say more no to self and yes to the Lord, because He's done these things freely. And by the Spirit of the Lord, we learn the things that are freely given to us of God. Our Lord Jesus, I preached for some time about the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus. We touched on it there in a previous passage in Romans. If the Lord would give all for us, how dare we? How dare I hold back in giving of self to Him? It's not much, but it's all I have. And you know what? That's all He requires. And the thing is, it's not for repayment, but it's for glorification. To glorify Him and be a witness and shine forth for Him. I find this interesting in the book of the Revelation, last book of the New Testament, towards the end of the book. We have some passages here that the Lord is speaking. In Revelation 21 here, He tells about our eternal dwelling place, the new heaven and the new earth. What a sight that will be. It'll be a wonder what our Lord will do with this earth and then the new heaven and the new earth. We can only imagine and fail even in that. It says here in Revelation 21:1. John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, or the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Isn't that something that here in the end, in the eternal end of the saints, that the Lord makes such a reference like this? And I think that that's significant of the saints, the children of God, there with the Lord in the new heaven and the new earth, and that we will continually and eternally drink of Him freely. No charge. Freely. Isn't that interesting that the Lord talks about the fountain? The fountain that He said a fountain would well up within those that He saves and that drink of Him. The fountain of the water, which again we always expect to be without price, without charge. It's the water of life, and it's free. Isn't that something? Isn't that just so wonderful how that is worded there? I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst. Are you thirsty? Tell you what, the Lord by his word and his preachers and his people brought that into me and made me thirsty there in the latter part of the 80s. Are you here this morning and thirsty? I tell you what, the Lord's the only one that can satisfy the thirst. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, verse 7. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving. Isn't that interesting that they are at the top of this list? The fearful to obey and believe God. The unbelieving and the deniers of the Lord's word. The fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But there's free water. And Jesus said, it's there for the asking. We come here to the end of this, or I mentioned this, what Brother Doug's been teaching on there in Matthew 5, verse number 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Lord's water of salvation and rescue, that is him, it satisfies the thirst. In an everlasting, full, and complete way. You know, we who are saved, we know it was true, and you that are here and not saved, I pray that you do understand that it's true. You've got a void within you. You've got a space and an emptiness within you that we try, you have tried to fill with all kinds of things of this world and life, and it will not fill it. It's a thirst. It's a hunger. But we who are saved testify and declare unto you, truly and plainly, the word of God does also that thirst, that hole, that space can only be filled by the Lord Jesus. And indeed, he will fill it. Living water. In Revelation 22, in the sign off of the book here, our Lord Jesus is speaking. There's an angel at hand too. Sometimes I read this and I go back and forth on who exactly is speaking. We know it's the Lord speaking through his spirit at the very least, because John, Brother John is moved and enlightened and illuminated by the Lord to write these things. We know it's by the Spirit of God. But look here in Revelation 22, verse number 16. I, Jesus, so it's plain there, he's speaking. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. That angel is speaking about John, his messenger. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star, Jesus declares about himself. No brag, the truth. Is this the Lord Jesus speaking directly? Is this Brother John by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? It's at least that. Is it the angel that's at hand that we see earlier in the chapter? I don't know, but I know it's the Word of God. And the Spirit of God and the bride, which is the Lord's church, speaking institutionally, say, come. You know, that's what we do to sinners. We say, come. Come where? Well, the Lord Jesus said, come unto me. You come to Jim Duke, you're not going to be any better off. But you come to the Lord Jesus, he has what you need. The Spirit and the bride, Olmsted Baptist Church, we say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. We hear the word of the Lord and we say, yes, come on. And let him that is athirst, isn't that interesting that the Lord says that here? Why does he say that here? At the end of the New Testament, at the end of this book of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the book is about, is the revelation of him. Jesus is at the center. He's the answer of all that is prophetic. And he says, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. It's free. It is water of the Lord. It is our Lord indeed. He says it's free. And he says, come indeed. In John chapter 7, we see here early in the Lord's Jesus ministry, in conclusion, we want to touch on this passage here. It's the beginning of his ministry, it's the Feast of Tabernacles, so it's in the fall. It's a feast that's had after the harvest. And so it's time for the males to go up to Jerusalem and present themselves before the Lord two or three times a year. Three times a year they're to do this. And this is one of those times. And there's wrangling there by Jesus' brothers. And they're urging him to do things. They don't yet believe in him. And so he deals with them about that. And the Lord Jesus goes on up to Jerusalem. And he does so, if you will, incognito. He doesn't make a show of it, a spectacle of it. And he shows up and he's seen there in the temple teaching. He's done some healing, and he's done so on the Sabbath day, and the religious leaders, they hate him for it. They're afraid of him. They're jealous of him. And he's there in the temple. And in verse number 37, listen to what he says. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried there in the temple. He's saying this loudly. I would be afraid to say it as loud as the Lord Jesus said it that day. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. I tell you what, we can't get any more plain than that. Because the Lord's not saying, come with your cup and I'm going to pour something in it physically. He's saying, come unto me. Come unto me and drink of me. Just like he said to the woman there at Sychar. If any man thirst, if any woman thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Free. Free. Because it's from our Lord. What's it say here in verse number 39? But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, or not yet, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. You know what? In verse number 39, we only have to deal with that verse from the historical point in dealing with the detail of this day, because you know what? Jesus has been glorified and is glorified now. And the Holy Spirit indeed has been given. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The freeness of salvation. How about you? Where are you this morning? If you're here and you're not saved, you need the salvation of the Lord. And we tell you and declare unto you, as the scripture does, it is free. In Luke chapter 11, verse number 13, the Lord Jesus says to us, comparing us with his Father, if you and I, if ye then, being evil, being of this sinful flesh and sinful generation, know how to give good gifts unto your children, which we desire to do them well, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him freely?" Jesus said to that woman at the well at Sychar, "If you knew the gift of God and who I am, you'd ask." He declares here in the temple in John 7, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink."